our help and only expectation. It's in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 422. The first stanza, my mouth shall sing for thy tender mercies, Lord. To every age will I thy faithfulness record. 1 4 22. Holy Scripture can be found in the book of Acts, 26th chapter, the verses 1 through 23, but before we'll listen to the holy law of the Lord.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts chapter 26, starting at verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hands and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise are 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we all were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things into which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, which showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So far.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. O Lord, that thou mightest dwell among us and be in our midst with the presence of thy Spirit, that we not only would hear the word, but that it would make room in our hearts for thy dear Son, who the light of the world shineth in darkness. And Lord, we pray that thou would bless thy word thereunto, that souls might be delivered from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the forgiveness of sins. That thy word, like thou hast promised Paul, and all thy servants will have a fruit into eternal life. We thank thee for this week, that there was a wedding and all went orderly, and we pray that thou would bless the couple waiting, O Lord, that they might wait. Let's pray and be on their knees for thy guidance and thy grace and thy guidance. Please protect them. Remember also the young couple that's preparing for 2.5 weeks to be married too, and that they might need thee not only that moment for a blessing, but now and every day. Remember also, Lord, the sick. There are some sick and others are traveling abroad, and we pray that thou would bless them, thou would heal them, and there might be a reason just to stay home and to know our weaknesses. But thou art medicine, heaven and medicine for time and eternity, the doctor of our souls, the physician of our eternal souls. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Remember thy word among us this morning. Remember the widows and the widowers, those who are lonely in the world and sometimes have no friend, or especially when they are Christians, persecuted, like we heard that Saul did, bringing them to jail and prison, persecuted to death. But how gracious art thou and hast thou been to him, to be a messenger, a teacher of the church. In all the letters, by the influence of thy Spirit, he wrote to us, even to us today. Lord, we ask thee that thou would be that God that sets to liberty, that takes away the sorrow and turns it to joy. We pray also for those who got a child, and bless their child. Those who are pregnant, remember them, that they may wait upon thee for time and eternity. Remember the schools, homeschooling, fathers and mothers, teachers, boards, that thy truth may be preached and taught and be applied to the hearts. Remember our students at the universities. For educations, we thank thee that our elder has come back and he had a good time there. Make him to know where to go and what to do. Lord, teach him thy ways. Oh, remember us in mercy. We pray also for Zach when he doesn't know what to do, to stay in the Reformed Presbyterian Church or direct his feet, his thoughts, his heart in thy ways, that he might not be so easily influenced, but that he might have a steady way. For thy ways are always righteous ways, right ways. Remember those who are in need of help. Have mercy upon them, Lord, spiritually and physically. And here is why we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, the text for this morning where we hear that the Lord Jesus told Paul what to do. He told about his conversion and that he didn't know the Lord, although he confessed and said that he knew the Lord. Therefore he says, who art thou, Lord? I don't know thee. And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. And then the text for this morning. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now have sent thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan into God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We see here the task, the promise for Saul, that he would be an instrument, no more, of the Lord Jesus, a servant and a witness. A servant is to be an instrument to serve the Lord. Ultimately, that's the case. It's not man-centered. To serve the Lord, that's what God does and wants to do to all his people. And be a witness, not only serving, but preaching what you know, have seen, and I have appeared to you, he said. You can be a servant of the Lord like Saul, but not being a witness. You need to be a witness of the things which God had taught you. That's what the Bible is clear saying this morning. And then he says, you will be used. When I sent you to the people, that's the Israelites and the heathens, you will be used, he said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. So it's a task, but also a promise, isn't it? It's a duty of grace, but it's also a promise. To open their eyes. He couldn't open their eyes, but he would be instrumental to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan into God. But that means more. And to God, that they from God may receive forgiveness of sins. Secondly, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me, he says. The Lord Jesus said, faith in me. Two things. Three things. Open their eyes. Turn them from the power of Satan to God, who gives forgiveness of sins. and have an inheritance among the saints in eternal life. Three things. But God would use the ministry of the apostle, and I can say the ministry of every servant of the Lord until the last day, opening eyes, turn them from the power of Satan to God for the forgiveness of sins, and lastly, that they might be heirs of God by the inheritance of the saints. But that's first thing, 4:15, 3 and 5. 4:15, 3 and 5. Call a mind, O Lord Jehovah, tender mercies manifold, and thy store of loving kindness which has ever been of old. 3 and 5, all the pathways of Jehovah speak of truth and mercy is pure. 3 and 5, 4:15. Paul was an enemy. And he thought he did know the Lord, but he didn't know him. He was a blind teacher of the blind. Although he was singing psalms and all kinds of hymns, and I don't know what he did. But in the eternal counsel of God, he was elected to grace in Christ. And in due time, in God's time, it happened. When he was at the height of his enmity, God brought him down. For grace's sake. It's important to say that. For grace's sake. And he made him a servant of himself. God sometimes uses enemies and gives them grace to be servants of the Lord. To serve the Lord. This church is not here for the church, but for the service of the Lord. For His glory and His grace in Christ. That's important. Secondly, he was a servant and a witness. What he preached, he knew. He didn't preach from dead men's brains, but he preached as a witness. The word witness is in the Bible martyr. And if you're a witness of Christ, you have to print his footsteps by slandering, persecuting, and hate of the religious world and the world of darkness. It's wonderful that the Lord took him, the enemy of all enemies, the chief one persecuting the congregation, to show that enemies need to be reconciled and sinners need to be forgiven. A wonderfully congregation, he was himself an example of what he preached. Are you, fathers and mothers, examples of what you teach, of what you preach, what you say, what you pray? Teachers, are you examples of what you teach? Or are you like Huntington says, a man who using dead men's brains? I always thought about it. Dead men's brains. God's people said so, and in the past he did. And they said, what do you say that I am? And Peter, by the grace of Lord, confess, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Not learned and taught by man, but by God the Father of Jesus Christ. And on the way to Damascus, and I'm not going further, but I want to go to the text for the charts which was given to Paul. And the whole church, even today, to me, and every minister and every teacher, is this charge given. He says, but I will deliver you. He was caught by the Jews to be killed even. He tells about it later. But he was delivered. Why? He should go to the king, to the emperor of the Roman Empire, to testify. And we all know that the wife of the emperor was converted. The wife of Nero became a Christian by the ministry of the word, like God used it by the Apostle Paul when he stood for He's judged the Emperor Nero, a very cruel and rude man who made Christians lanterns. He filled them with asphalt and set them straight in his garden and torched them. They burned candles. He killed all his enemies and an instrument of Satan, but his wife was converted. He had to go there. That was the obligation God had given to him. Therefore he was delivered from the people, the Jews, and from the Gentiles, into whom I now send thee. First he was called, and if you're called as a minister, you will be sent to. And sending is very important, because if God sends you, he has work for you. And he will use you where he sends you. I'm sure of it. If God sends you somewhere to Africa or here, he will use you. I'm not saying immediately. William Carey, was sent to India. And it took a lot of years before he became fruitful. I think 13 years. Before he saw any fruit. And his wife was sick. And he couldn't return to the Netherlands. But God used him. He had sent him to India. And God used him. That's what the Lord Jesus said when he fell on his knees and didn't eat for 3 days and didn't drink. At the end, the Lord said, "Come on your feet, stand up. Arise. Don't lay on the floor anymore, confessing and crying. Stand up." You can use the word stand up as raised from the dead. A dead sinner raised. That's a child of God. It's a dead sinner raised. "Stand up," he said. "Go on your feet. Walk." Yeah. I'll send you to the Jews and the heathens, and be a witness of the things you have seen and will see in the future. I'll teach you more, he said. God did it for 3 years in Arabia. Taught them out of the scriptures, the full truth, every truth. And he says, this is what will happen. You will be used to open the eyes of the Jews and the heathens. The Jews say it's a wonderful word. It means to open the eyes of the heart. Be enlightened in the soul. Children, when you're blind, and you are blind, we say blind heathens. They don't know anything about God, no grace. But you know what the Bible says about the Pharisees? Paul called them the blind teachers of the blind. There is no difference between a religious man and a heathen. A Pharisee and a heathen. They're all blind. And if you're blind, you know only darkness. The light might shine. You might feel a bit of the heat of the sun, but you have no light. You can't see. You're blind. You're in darkness. And the first thing God does by the ministry of Paul, that's what he says, he will enlighten their souls, their mind, their hearts to see. Until now, I have a question. If you have been blind and your old eyes are opened, Have you ever, I did it sometimes with my children, play a kind of game, swaddling them, and say, seek where you can go, and they didn't know where to go, and they were blindfolded. And we are blindfolded, and we're blind. But if that strap that would be taken from you, would you like to look to the darkness again? Or if you, for the first time, are able to see, where are you directing your eyes? To the light. I've never seen a blind man who got the sight back looking to darkness, but he was waiting for the light, waiting for the morning, more than watchmen wait. So if God opens your eyes, happen two things. You see the darkness by light. In congregation, I want to especially mention this thing to you. A man who sees, knows the difference, and knows the difference between light and darkness. When you're blind, you don't know the difference. If God gives you eyes, spiritual eyes, you'll see the difference between darkness and light. By nature, we don't even know the difference between darkness and light. We're all in darkness, blind. But if your eyes are opened, you've got to know what's darkness, your old nature, sin. The desires for sin. To be outside of God and under the judgment of God. Paul didn't know that before. He was singing always in church to be one of the children of God, and especially child. Very serious. Legalistic. But when his eyes were opened, he saw his darkness, his sins. I got yesterday, but you don't know, it's not. A call from the Netherlands from a young man, crying. And he said to me, Pastor, I don't know what to do anymore. Sin, sin. He said to me, can you tell me? Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus. Your sins will be forgiven. Yeah, it's a gift, I know. Dear boy, go on your knees and tell the Lord the hardness of your heart and the desires of your evil lusts. And I said one thing more. Accept judgment. Pastor, I can't. I say, I know. But if you're really a sinner, it will come that far. Justify God. To be forgiven. But anyways, then you see the difference between darkness of mankind and of your own soul. Outside of God and without hope in the world. And the judgment of the wrath of God. But congregation, do you know what it says too? By the preaching of the gospel, you will see light to righteousness in Christ, eternal peace. In the holy person of the second person of the Trinity who became man, you will see the difference between you is darkness and the light of the world. In congregation, I'm going on. If you never have seen the difference experimentally, you're still blind. Might be very religious, very serious, hating those who hate God, that's what Paul thought. But still blind for your own person, your own sins, and that you're under judgment as a sinner before God. But congregation, also the light. And for the first time, Christ is preached to you. You see him sinless as a substitute given by the Father, is the only man who praises God, God and man, who is righteous and without sin, pleasing his Father, born of the Virgin Mary. In congregation, that's what Paul saw on the way to Damascus. He saw his darkness, and Christ is the light that shines in darkness. Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And do you know what he says? If you see the difference, God will turn you from darkness to light. God will turn his people from darkness to light. If your eyes are opened, I think you have no desire to be in darkness. If you have seen the light in Christ, he will turn you from darkness to light. He will turn them in Africa from darkness to light. And in China, in Springfield, the light of the world, the light that convicts, but all the light also that sets free, takes away darkness. Then you will know the power, not only having spiritual knowledge of yourself in the sight of God, and seen and heard the gospel in Christ Jesus, but he will turn you from darkness to light. You'll experience the applicational power of the Holy Word by the Spirit to turn you. Children, if you were blind and you could see for the first time, would you like darkness again? So God's Spirit works. He will bring you and turn you around from darkness to light. If this morning you would see that you're lost, and dark sinner, and have heard in your life of the Lord Jesus the substitute, and your soul is crying, give me Jesus or I die, he will turn you from darkness to light. Not you, but he will turn you from darkness to light, to see the beauty of the Son of God, his mercies, his sacrifice, his glory. And he continues. He says, and from the power of Satan. Congregation, by nature, we are not servants of God, but slaves of sin. The forgiveness of sin is important, and I come to it. But what's the power of Satan? Tell me. It's the law. No, Pastor. Yeah, it's law. You know what John the Baptist said to the Pharisees? Ye seed of the serpent, seed of the serpent. Since fall in paradise, the devil has the power over us by transgressing the law. It's also called the power of death. He always uses the law. He said, and listen, dear, today did even the children of God. He says, if you were a real child of God, you wouldn't think like you're thinking. Or you would behave different. For he doesn't know the substitution, that Christ is the light taking away darkness. He doesn't know it. And doesn't want to know it. Can you understand what I'm saying? So the devil has the power of the law, of sin. Those instruments. And that's always what he does. When Joshua stood there, do you know what he said to Joshua the high priest? He says, your clothes are dirty. You can't serve the Lord. He always points to our infirmities, our trespasses. And he uses the law. He wants to turn God against you by the law. Listen to what I'm saying. Really, that's true. He says, Lord, how can such a dirty man serve thee in thy inner sanctuary? And again he does. First he says, trespass, and then he says, it's done, it's over with you. He is the accuser of the brethren. Really believe what I'm saying. He's a very pious devil. And he tells you, if you do better, probably you get grace. If you increase in piety, probably your sins will be forgiven to you. If you preach sincerely, he said to Judas, probably you will be a part of the kingdom of God. Do you know what the devil doesn't teach? That we are darkness and no more than darkness. And that the light is not our light, but it's shining upon his church to be enlightened. Congregation, more and more I see that we are not going to be better. But we are going to be new in Christ Jesus. And he always likes to press you. And say, hey, like the Pharisees, they were blameless. There's a sinner in our midst, and he says, how can I be saved as a sinner by grace in Christ? I'm not saying sin is not severe and serious. Sin is. But the flesh is of no use. You know Cobra? He was converted. Surely his sins were forgiven, and the devil tried him. And he thought he would be a saint, and he became a devil inside. Listen. Fleshly. Sold in the sin. And then he read it in Romans 7. Miserable of a man that I am, not that I was, but that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of sin? I thank God by Jesus Christ. He'll do it. He does it, has done it. Congregation, we are here not a congregation of saints. I hope. We are here, I hope God will show us, a congregation of sinners with grace. Saved sinners, says Huntington. Still a sinner, but saved. Repenting, but believe it. You know you can't believe this, eh? Because you're born legalistically. You can't believe this. You believe I have to be a better one to get grace. And I believe it by nature too. And I tried it. And Paul tried it. And he even said I was blameless. People couldn't put a finger upon me. But he had no peace. He was an enemy of all grace and of the cross of Christ. Blind for his own doings and blind for Christ's sake. He didn't even know him. Didn't want to know him. Was an enemy of the cross. Of the substitutionary work of Christ all. His enmity came out persecuting the congregation, pricking his legs to the pins, hurting himself. Oh, congregation, are here sinners. Who can be saved anymore? I know a Savior, a light. That taketh away the darkness of your soul, enlightens your soul to eternal light. In his light we see the light. And he will turn them by the ministry of you, Paul. He opens the eyes and he will turn them from darkness to Christ. From self to the light of the world. Behold his goodness and glory, his mercy and forgiveness. And from the power of Satan, I've said and I come back to it, Satan has the power of the death of fear. Satan is a prince of darkness. He brings fear. For law workers, fear. Sometimes he is sometimes even used for the children of God to be the dog of the Lord, to bring them to God. Sometimes he is used. But his purpose is to make you hopeless. And he drags you as a servant of darkness to hell, the power of Satan, the king of this world, the prince of darkness. But he will turn you from the power of Satan unto God. But listen, congregation, it said more about God. That they may receive from God forgiveness of sins. And let's be clear. If your sins are forgiven, the devil has no power over you anymore. He might fight with you, might accuse you, but has no power over you anymore. For the law is satisfied. And the sword of the devil is thrown away. The devil can't tease, nor affect, nor accuse a sinner that's forgiven. He has not any more the law power over you anymore. Showing you your sins and saying it's hopeless with you. No, from God given grace in the forgiveness of sins. What does that mean? And congregation, I have to go further. We have a time and age that people believe and say, I need to have forgiveness every day. I'm not saying you don't need it. But if God forgives your sin, He forgives your sins from beginning to the end. The sins of the past, of the present, and of the future. No, pastor. Then you don't know the scriptures. That's what I'm saying. With one sacrifice, He sanctified. With one sacrifice, He sanctified them all. If you're under a doctrine that they teach you that today you need to be forgiven and tomorrow you need to be forgiven, that's Roman Catholicism. Therefore, they sacrifice the Lord Jesus in every Mass. But all the sins of the people of God are laid by the Father on the Son to bury them in His sepulcher. That is true. And you need once for all to have forgiveness. In congregation, forgiveness is a word in the Greek that the burden is taken from you. That puts you on your knees. Judgment. Darkness. And do you know what God does? Therefore, this text is such a wonderful text. This text is a tune of the whole song of grace. The key tune. The key tone. Of the song of grace. To receive. It's a given matter. Oh wonder my sins are in Christ forgiven. The burden that laid upon me is taken from my shoulders. The death sentence is taken away and I got life eternal in Christ. And if there would be any sin left alone, not being forgiven, your salvation wasn't sure. I saw this week again that by the one sacrifice He sanctified all, took all their sins upon Him. No, I have to say God laid all my sins upon Jesus. I've seen it. And again He buried Him in the graveyard of Joseph of Arimathea. Therefore Paul says we see Him again without sin. As a sinner, my sins made Him a sinner. He suffered, He died, He was buried to death. But He paid a penalty and He raised again for righteousness' sake, for my righteousness' sake. Children of God, I have a question. Probably there are here children of God who know that their sins are forgiven. I know there are. But last month you were so attacked, isn't it? And the devil says it's not enough. And sometimes in affliction are desperate. You don't tell it anymore. But in the name of the Lord Jesus, I have to say to you that when he forgave you all, it is forgiven all. For he saved you with an eternal salvation. Oh, you might feel repentance that you sinned against love. But he comes near to you and he say, although you're not faithful, I know you're not. I am faithful. I can deny myself. I pay the penalty. My dear friend, not your serious prayers will help you. Although, when God turns you from darkness to light, you will be serious. Not your promises will guide you, for you won't pay them. Now I go and say a strange thing probably. I made several promises to God, but he fulfilled them for me. No, yeah, he did. For he is faithful to do what I can do, to fulfill what I can't fulfill, to forgive us of sins. And in dark times, in affliction, sometimes the devil comes and says, ah, it's imagination. But now I have to ask you a question. Is that burden sometime, that load upon your soul, that wrath of God, is it turned back to your soul? No. The affliction, yeah. But the moment God set you free, you turned to paradise, and you were looking around, and you couldn't find your sin anymore, you know? Remember it? You know why? They tumbled in the cemetery and are buried by the Lord Jesus in his graveyard. Never to return to you anymore. That's light. And we are darkness. To receive, Labine, to receive forgiveness of sins. I thought first, because it connects to the catechism, to preach about that woman of which Christ says she loved much because her is forgiven much. Some people teach that first is love and then forgiveness. That's Catholicism. The first forgiveness, and therefore she loves much. In the forgiveness of sins, in the forgiveness of sins, reveals God his love toward you. And because of his love, you love him. People, in the Catholic Church, they believe that grace is infused to you by love. And even so-called Reformed doctrines say that in the seventh Lord's Day, there is not an assured faith, but love. Before you get an assured faith. If there is not assured faith, you're not having love. Listen, Psalm 116, and I go through it this morning. I love the Lord. Why? He heard my sighing and crying. And when I died, He raised me. But it came to my end. And congregation, we should stick to the biblical word and not to philosophy of these days. Let's first sing again. Oh, it's time. Eighty-three, one and two. Christ being my sin, and I'm being His righteousness. That's from darkness to light. But congregation, lastly, third, it's all what you find in the letter of Paul, and his one text, it's a tune of the whole grace, glorious song. And an inheritance. If your sins are forgiven by the faith in Christ, you will be sealed by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of adoption, to be a child of God. And you're an heir of God and a co-heir of the Lord Jesus. You will have an inheritance that's no payment, that's no work. It's the precious gift of a child to be an heir of his father. And a co-heir with the Lord Jesus of a new heaven and a new earth. Sometimes, but you might think that I'm not wise, but let me be not wise. But I believed once that the whole world was owned by God in Christ, and a new world was also owned by me. As an heir, as a child of God. I will make a new world and a new heaven. Among them which are sanctified, indwelt by the Spirit. I said it's the Spirit of adoption that testifies that you're not under the wrath anymore, but are a child of God. Brought to liberty. Not using it for your flesh, but spiritual liberty. Set free from the bonds and bondage of sin and Satan. By faith in me, he says. By faith in me. Sanctified, that's indwelled by the Spirit. And it's a spirit of adoption by which we call God our Father. Our Father, says the Lord Jesus, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My Father and your Father. My heritance and your heritance. Father's love and Father's cause. Father's glory and Father's possessions are yours. In me. In me. By faith in me. Among those, what a day will it be, when all the children of God will gather. Here on earth, in the church in strife, in heaven in the church triumphant. But all indwelt already here by the Spirit of adoption by which we call God our Father. Oh, Pastor, are you not attacked? Sometimes so attacked. The devil says, you imagine it only. And when the hell comes upon my soul. But he promised Saul that he would be set free, being an heir of the kingdom of God, the best my dear comers, where will be no sin anymore, no devil, no sea, no darkness, only light, the light of the glory of the King of glory, the Son of righteousness. And how do you get it? By faith in the forgiveness of sin, no. By faith in the Holy Spirit, no. By faith in me, says the Lord Jesus. And faith unites. He in me and I in him. Or better, I in him, that's forgiveness of sins. And he in me is sanctification by his Spirit. United. Faith unites. My Father and my God. My God. My Savior. In congregation, we don't believe in matters. We believe in a person who is the good shepherd and leads his people in love. Therefore, you can say also to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, I think 30, he is mate of God and to us with him. He is my with him, and I am his fool. He is my righteousness, and I am his sin. He is my sanctification. I'm holy in him and will be sanctified by his Spirit, dying to self, living unto him by grace. Among them which are sanctified, indwelled by the Spirit. And you know it, for their Spirit testifies with your Spirit that you're a child of God. I got this week a little letter from the Netherlands from Mr. Roost and his wife about a young boy that's born which couldn't speak, blind, but there was such a testimony that he was a child of God. And he's now in heaven, among the saints. Where God is all in all by my soul, in the way of my soul. But will be, when the end of this world will come, we only have on this world, a new world, children of God. Praising God. Loved by God, loving God. Walking in his ways. Oh, congregation, may I ask you, are your sins forgiven you? Have you seen the difference between darkness of yourself and the light which is Christ to believe? Have you felt the power of darkness when the devil doesn't want you to go and says, you did the unforgivable sin, and it's over with you. Foolish devil. They will have forgiveness of sin, and never sin this sin. And if you fear that you have sinned this sin, you didn't sin this sin. There will be forgiveness. For who has seen the Lord Jesus by faith? In him, by faith in me. Not on me, or about me, or, but in me. I in him, and he in me, that I live by faith in him, who is my life. Congregation. The Lord Jesus testifies about himself by, he says, faith in me. Isn't it wonderful that he comes to Springfield this very morning and he says, by faith in me, seeing the difference between light and darkness, knowing the difference between the power of Satan and the forgiveness of sin when he has to release you. Set free, knowing the difference between the ways of the world and are sanctified, indwelled by the Spirit as the guide to eternal life. O congregation, what God has said to Paul, he works today. And he will do what he says. for all his people. And that you might go home if you don't know these things and cry, be it given also to me, the Holy Spirit, to teach me, to open my blind eyes, to bring me to God for the forgiveness of sins, confessing my sins, justifying God, but also to be indwelled by the Spirit, to broaden liberty of the children of God, and that by his eternal good pleasure, to him be the glory forever. Isn't it? Yeah. You need eternity to praise him, O ye people of God, for that marvelous work. And he says, by faith, trust, knowledge of me, and faith, trust in me alone. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, be the after preacher and the applicator of thy own word, please. Set them free which are in bondage, and forgive their sins. As dark sinners, shine upon them once more, and we will be delivered. I know it. I feared that light, but it was a welcome light. It was a light of life, a light of grace that takes away the darkness. Lord, remember us in mercy, and that thy work might be seen among us, please, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll sing at the end, 71, 1 and 3. 71, 1 and 3. And then the catechism class will start, and we hope that it might be a good season for our young people, that they might be given true education by the Spirit of God. Let's sing 71, 1 and 3. Jehovah is my light and my salvation near. See, that is it. And then 3. My one request has been, and what's following? 1 and 3, 71. you may go in peace, receiving the blessings of the eternal God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.